Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuvas daf Chav Beis. We left off Chav Aleph Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom on the first wide line. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. We are going to continue the discussion that we began yesterday. You'll recall that yesterday we started discussing toward the end of the shiur the concept of Kiyum Shtaros, but not from the Edim's perspective, rather from the Dayanim's perspective. We had spoken about how there were three Dayanim who have to sit there as a Beis Din, they have to convene as a Beis Din, and those three Dayanim can accept Eidos as to the authenticity of the signature of the Edim who signed on the Shtar. We had spoken yesterday, what happens if one of the Dayanim is not familiar with the signature of the Edim, and we described the procedure for essentially the other two Dayanim to testify in front of the third Dayan, or basically to educate the third Dayan that the signature on the document is really the signature of the aid. And through that, we basically educate the third Dayan to be able to testify as to the authenticity of the signature on the shtar. And then we had said, how come you can't do that? And we said that that's an example of aid nasa dayan, because the people who are then alerting or educating the third dayan as to the identity of the aid are then sitting as the basin, and they're actually being Mekayim the Shtar. That's the concept of Eid Nasa Dayan. The Eid is basically switching hats, he's switching roles, and then he is serving as a Dayan. We had asked how come that is not possible by Kiddush HaChodesh, and we had wound up explaining that there's a distinction between Dinim Darais and Dinim Darabanan, that whereas by Kiyum Shtoros is a Din Darabanan, therefore we're going to be a little bit more lax and Eid Nasa Dayan. By Kiddush HaChodesh, it's in the Raisa, and therefore Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. Over here, we're going to talk about what happens if, in today's daf, we're going to talk about what happens if there are three Dayanim who are sitting to be Mekayim Ishtar, and there's a challenge raised as to one of the Dayanim, that there's a somebody raises a challenge as to the fitness of one of the people to serve as a Dayan, what exactly they do in that case. We're going to talk about what type of challenge, what type of a challenge to the person's fitness and character is raised. Then we are going to get to a Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We're going to talk about a woman who testifies that she was married and now she's divorced, that she was captured, but she's tahar. So is she believed? Is she believed to say that she was divorced? Is she believed to say that even though she was captured, she was not violated, and therefore she would be eligible to marry a Kohen? She would be eligible to stay with her husband if the husband is a Kohen. And again, that's more in the discussion of the concept of apesha asar hu apesha hiter. Then in that context, we're going to talk about the concept of a masla. We're going to talk about where a woman makes a taina, then reverses her taina. The question is, do we believe the woman when she reverses her taina? So for example, this woman goes around saying to her husband, I'm a nida, is one of the examples that the Gemara gives. So she says, I'm a nida, and then she says, oh, actually, I'm not a nida. So is she believed to say then that she's not a nida? Is she believed to backtrack on her comments? The question is, it's going to depend on whether there's an amasla, whether there's a justification. Is there basically probable cause or a plausible explanation as to why, is probably the better word, a plausible explanation as to why she would reverse her comment. And similarly, where a woman says, I'm engaged, and then says, no, I'm not engaged. So why exactly would she lie about the fact that she was engaged initially? And we're going to talk more about this, the status of a woman who claims to be divorced, and whether the woman is allowed to have relations with another man. But again, much more about the concept of apesha asur. Before we get there, again, we are going to start with the discussion of Kiyum Shtaros, and specifically the role of the Dayanim in Kiyum Shtaros. So again, that is Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. It is three lines up from the bottom, first wide line, middle of the line. Says the Gemara as follows. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Shlosha sheyashvu l'kayim es ashtar, if three people sit down to convene as a Beis Din to be mekayim ashtar, v'kara irur al echad mehem, and a challenge is raised as to one of the dayanim, ad shelo chosmu, if it's before they actually sat down and were mekayim the shtar with the lashon that we read yesterday in Rashi, which is ashrenui v'kaimnui l'shtara denan b'mosef talsa dashmedunai d'chsimas yadei sadehi. In other words, we convened as a Beis Din, We sat down, we were Mekayim the Shtar, because we know that this is the signature of the Edim. So if a challenge was raised, that's the character and fitness of one of the Dayanim. Before they signed the Kiyam Shtar, before they signed that certification, then Edin Alav V'chosein. Then you could be Mayid, meaning be Mayid on the Dayan, that he's a good guy, and then the Dayan can sit as one of the Dayanim, as part of this basin, and he could sign the Kiyam Shtar, because it's going to be valid. Misha Chosmo, however, if the guy's character and fitness was challenged, he signed on the certification of the Kiyam Shtar, and then after that, they rehabilitated his character and fitness, they testified that he really is a good guy, that he really is an eligible Dayan. So Misha Chosmo, Ein Me Eden Alav Chosein. Then you're no longer allowed to be Mayid and have him have his signature valid. Rashi says the reason that you're not allowed to do this is because the other Dayanim at that point, in other words, who's being Mayid on the other Dayan? It's the two Dayanim who are there, who are being made on the third Dayan. So if they haven't yet signed the certification, the other two Dayanim can say, oh, even though we know that a rumor was raised as to this guy's character and fitness, we know that he's a good guy. We've sat on Batei Din with him before, and therefore we know he's a good guy, and we're going to let him participate in the Kiyam Shtaros. If, however, they already signed the document, then the other two Dayanim are not allowed to rehabilitate the guy's character and fitness and come to his defense. The reason is, says Rashi, because at that point they're Nogea Be'edus. Why are they Nogea Be'edus? Because it's an embarrassment that they should sit on a basin with such a lowlife. So the reason that they're trying to rehabilitate the guy's character and fitness and say that he really is a good guy is because it reflects poorly on them if they sit on a basin with somebody who's an unsavory character. So says the Gemara now, Viter, Irur Demai. What type of Irur are we talking about here? So Irur de Gazlanusa, if it's an Irur de Gazlanusa, if there's a call that went out that the guy's a Gazlan, so why is it that when the two Dayanim testify that the third Dayan really is a good guy, now he's allowed to sign the Kiyam Shtar, and he's allowed to participate as a member of this Basin? Treya Trey Ninu, it's a Treya Trey. And so it's two against two. So in other words, two witnesses say that he is a Dayan. The other two witnesses, two witnesses say that he's a Gazlan. The other two witnesses, who are also the two Dayanim, say that he's not a Gazlan. So that's a two against two, a Trey, a Trey. So why would the third Dayan be eligible to serve on the Basin and be Mekayim the Shtar? It's a situation of Trey, a Trey. It's a stalemate. And you're not going to be machshir, you're not going to vindicate the Dayan with this type of testimony. Why do we assume that it's a Trey, a Trey? All that we said was that there's a rumor that the guy was a Gazlan, and now we have these two Dayanim testifying that he's not a Gazlan. So the answer is, says Rashi, because ein irur pachas mishnayim. So by definition, if there's something called an irur, that means, if there's something called a challenge, that means that by definitionally, there are two people who are making that testimony. There are two people who are giving that testimony that the guy's a Dayan. So it's a two against two. Why are we going to then allow this Dayan, this third Dayan, to sign on the Kiyam Shtar? An Irur de Pagam Mishpacha, and if it's an Irur of Pagam Mishpacha, if they say that, he's just not he's a Pasul L'Dayan, he's a Pasul L'Edus, he's an Eved, so if it's that type of Irur, so then Gilui Milsa B'Almahu, then it's only a Gilui Milsa B'Alma. So why wouldn't, in other words, so what the Gemara is saying now is, since it's only a Gili Milsa, why wouldn't the other two Dayanim be believed to rehabilitate this guy's character and fitness even after they sign? In other words, there's no chshash of Nogea Be'edus, because the whole reason why there's a chshash of Nogea Be'edus is when the only reason that we're going to permit the Dayan to function as a Dayan is based on the testimony of these two guys, these other two Dayanim, we're not going to want to accept that testimony because they're self-interested. They're self-interested because they don't want to be seen as sitting on a basin with a guy who's a lowlife, with a guy who's a Gazlan. But if it's only that they're saying that he's got a Pekam Mishpacha, the reason that we're going to reinstate this guy as a Dayan is not necessarily on account of the Eidos. In other words, they're saying, oh no, there is no Pagam Mishpacha. Whether there's a Pagam Mishpacha, in other words, whether the guy's an Eved, whether the guy's Pasul Eidos or not, is an independently verifiable fact. So when we say that this guy is now eligible to serve as a dayan, it's not on account of the testimony of the two dayanim. They're just saying something that we're going to independently verify anyway. So why are we saying that they can't testify as to his character and fitness even after they signed on the shtar? It's not, in other words, the fact that we reinstate him, says Rashi, it's not toluy on their Haggadah's Eidos. They're only being Megala Milsa. They're being Megala something that we are going to verify anyway. So they're not considered to be an Agav Eidos. It says basically the Gemara, Mamanavshach, if it's an error that he's a Gazlan, then even before they sign, then we shouldn't be believed because it's a Trey a Trey. If it's an error that it's a Pekam Mishpacha, even after they sign, they should be believed to rehabilitate his character and fitness because we're not reinstating him on the basis of the testimony. We're reinstating him because we're going to independently verify his status. Says the Gemara, Liyol Namei Melecha Ira de Gazlanusa. Really, it's an Ira de Gazlanusa. V'gamri Hani Adina Be De Avar Tshuva. Now, the reason that it's not a Trey a Trey is that it's not that the two Dayanim come and say he's not a Gazlan, because if all they said that he's not a Gazlan, then it's a Trey a Trey. It's a stalemate. We're not necessarily going to believe them, and we're not going to reinstate this third guy as a Dayan. What they're saying is, yes, he was a Gazlan, but we know that he did Tshuva. What does it mean he did Tshuva? Says Rashi, Veheshivas Agzela. He returned the Gzela. Therefore, they're saying he is now fit to serve as an Eved, not that they're contradicting the fact that he was a Gazlan. He was a Gazlan, but he did Tshuva. There's nobody who testifies that he didn't do Tshuva. Nobody knows that he didn't do Tshuva. So, therefore, they're going to be believed with that testimony. But again, only if they give that testimony before they sign on the Kiyam Shtar. If it's after they sign on the Kiyam Shtar, then they're no gab edus. We're not going to believe them because we're going to be afraid that the only reason they're giving this testimony is that they don't want to be seen as sitting on a basin with a guy who is a lowlife. So Amrav Zera Hamilsa Rabbi Abba Shmieli. I heard this from Rabbi Abba. Vilav Rabbi Abba Diminako Shakha. And if I had not heard it from Rabbi Abba Diminako, I would have forgotten it. So says the Gemoshik Chasa. So Gimel Shayashva Lakayim Es Ashtar. If three people sit to be Mekayim Ishtar, Umeis Echan Meam, now one of them dies, Srichin Lemichta B'mosev Talsa Havinan, V'chad Lesui. They have to write that initially we were sitting as a basin of three, and one is no longer with us. Why do they have to write one is no longer with us? Because if one of the Dayanim died in the process of the Kiyam Ishtar, so he's no longer there at the time that they're signing. And if he's no longer there at the time that they're signing, how many signatures are there going to be on the Kiyam Shtar? There's only going to be two signatures. The problem is, Kiyam Shtar has to take place in front of a Beis Din. So if it's supposed to take place in front of a Beis Din and there's only two signatures, you have to explain why there's only two signatures on the Shtar. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, V'kasa Beishtara Dina Nafik L'kadmana Beidina Sulo Tzarech. But if it already says in the Lashon of the Kiyam Shtar that this shtar came before a Beis Din in order to be verified, you no longer have to write, oh, we were three people sitting at a Beis Din, but now one of us died. Why, says Rashi? Because it would not be called a Beis Din if it were less than three people. So you don't have to explain why there were only two people. Everybody knows that it was a Beis Din, that there were initially three, because you use the word Beis Din in the Lashon of the Kiyam Shtar. Everybody will assume the reason that there's only two signatures is because one of the Dayanim was either unavailable, dead, whatever, when it was time to sign the shtar, the verification, the certification, and therefore that's why there were only two signatures on the document. Says the Gemara, how do we know necessarily that there were three people? V'dilma basin chatzafu. Maybe it was a basin chatzaf. It was a chutzpedik basin. Ukad Shmuel, and it's like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel shnayim shadonu dineim din elish nikra basin chatzaf. That Shmuel says that if two people are yoshev to dan a din, then it is a din, but they are called a basin. They are called a basin chatzaf. And so, how do we know necessarily that there were three people? It could be that there were initially two people. So there is a kasha that if it's there is a kasha, what does it mean that shnayim shadonu dineim din elishanikra based in chatzof? If it's dineim din, so what's the, in other words, what's the issue? They're chutzpah, but is it a judgment or is it not? It doesn't matter. Like, okay, good. So there are a bunch of chutzofs. Is it valid or not? So Shmuel appears to be saying it's valid, but they're a based in chatzof. So basically, so mabakach. So the Tosfos Rid explains, no, the issue is that we don't paskin like Shmuel. In other words, we don't say that Shnayim Shedanu Dineim Din, that therefore the whole problem is that we don't paskin like Shmuel, and that's why if there are only two who sign, it's not that they're chutzpedik, but it's a valid judgment. we paskin that it's not a valid judgment at all, and that's why we want to make sure that it wasn't a based in chatzav. So how do we know that it's a, just because it says based in, how do we know that it's necessarily a based in of three, that it was necessarily three dayanim there initially? Maybe it's like Shmuel and it's a based in chatzav, says the Gemara, dechsiv bei beidina de Rav Naashi. Because it says the based in of Rav Ashi, and we know that Rav Ashi wouldn't paskin like Shmuel. So Avidulma Rabbanan Debe Ravashi Kedishmuel Svira Lehu. Maybe the Rabbanan Debe Ravashi, maybe the disciples of Ravashi, they paskin like Shmuel Dechsibbe Va'amr Lena Ravna Ashi. It wasn't the disciples, it wasn't the school of Ravashi's based in. It was Ravashi's based in. And we know that Ravashi definitely did not hold like, we know that, that he definitely did not hold like Shmuel, and therefore, if we know that this was in front of the Beis Din of Rav Ashi, then we know perforce that it was a Beis Din of, that it was going to be a Beis Din of three people. Okay, so says the next Mishnah, Ha'isha Sha'amra Eishas Isha Yisi. If a woman says that I was married, v'grushani, but now I'm divorced, nemena, she's believed that she's divorced. Why? Shapesha asar hu apesha hiter. Because pesha asar hu apesha hiter, and therefore we would not have known that she was married except for her own admission that she was married. She's believed to say that she was married, therefore she's believed to say that she was divorced as well. And some explain that that is only where she says Grusha Hayisi, where she qualifies her statement that she used to be married, Betok Chedei Dibur, of her initial statement that she used to be an Eishes Ish. However, the Rambam says that there is, that we don't mention La Halacha, that this Chazara, that the qualification has to be Tokhedei Dibur. And the reason for the Rambam's Shita is because the whole concept of Tokhedei Dibur is only when the second part of the statement contradicts the first part of the statement, when it's really considered to be a reversal. So if she made a statement and then she wants to backtrack totally, she wants to contradict on the statement, then that contradiction has to be Tokhedei Dibur in order to be believed, says the Rambam. However, over here, she's not contradicting her statement. She's saying, Eishes Ish Hayisi, V'grushani. In other words, I used to be married, and now I'm divorced. Those two are not contradictory. If she said, I am married, and I'm divorced, that would be contradictory. That would then have to be issued within Tokhedei Dibur. If she says, I was married, and I'm divorced, since the two statements are not contradictory to one another, doesn't have to be Tokhedei Dibur according to the Rambam, and she would be believed with that second statement, with a second comment, which qualifies the first comment, because it is the concept of Apesha Asar, which we are now well familiar with. And now says the Mishnah, the obvious, we knew this was coming, Vim Yesh Eidim Shai Seishesish V'yomeres Grushani Einan Emenes. If we had independent knowledge that she was married, and then she says she's divorced, and she has no proof that she's divorced, then she's not going to be believed, because now she does not come with the koach of a pesha asar, because she's not the one who told us that she was married. We knew independently that she was married, therefore her pesha asar goes away. Second case of the Mishnah, so Amra Nishbesa V'torani, if she says that I was captured, yet I am tar, yet I was not violated, Nemenes, then she's believed. Why? Because we had no idea that she was captured as it is. Shapashas or Wapesha hits her. Because the only reason we know that she was captured was her testimony. Therefore, she's believed to backtrack on that testimony as well. Vim Yesh Edim Shanishbeis. However, if there were Edim that she was captured, Viomeris Torani, but she yet nevertheless claims that she is Tohora, then Einan Amenes, then she's not going to be believed. Because most captives are violated, she does not have the koach of a pesha asar, because we don't know that she was captured because of her, we have independent knowledge that she was captured. Vim Mishanises Bo Edim Harezulo Teitse. However, if she gets remarried before Edim come, then before the Edim who either say that she was married or that she was captured come, then Arezula Teitse, then she doesn't have to get divorced. We are going to see in the Gemara which case in the Mishnah this last comment of the Mishnah is designed to qualify. Says the Gemara, so Amar Avasi, Minayin la'apesha asar hu'apesha hiter. How do we know the concept of apesha asar hu'apesha hiter? A little bit odd that the Gemara is raising this question now. We've already been discussing apesha asar since the beginning of the second parak. Okay, but now the Gemara is saying, how do we know the concept of apesha asar hu'apesha hiter min haTorah? Shenemar esbiti nasati l'ish hazeh li'isha. I gave, this is talking about a father who betroths his Nara daughter, that I am giving my daughter over to this man as a woman. Le'ish Asra. So when he says, I gave my daughter over to a man, he assured her, Rashi explains, he assured her on all the world because he has not yet said who he gave his daughter over to. And if he actually betrothed his daughter, if he actually accepted Kedushin on behalf of his daughter, the daughter's assur to every man in the world except for the Arus, except for the one who gave her Kedushin. We don't know who that person is. Therefore, the father, when he makes his comment, successfully assurs his daughter on the entire world. Hazeh hetira. But when he says, Le'ish hazeh, that part, he's mater her. In other words, he is mater her to this man. And that is the concept of a pesha asar hu a pesha hiter. So it says Tosfos over here, minayin la pesha asar wa pesha hiter min haTorah, second to last Tosfos on the page. So mashma de'ina avneman lahatir esbito kesha asra ela machmas migo. It's mashma that the only reason the father is believed to say lish hazeh is because of migo, it's because of this concept of a pesha asar wa pesha hiter. V'teima, dimba echad v'amar kidashti esbiti. But says Tosfos, I don't get it. If somebody says, I accepted Kedushin on behalf of my daughter, Ula'akar Shah Ulamachar, Amar Laploni Kidashtiya, Lo Ye Neman Kivan Hashta Lekamigo. So if the guy the next day explains, oh, by the way, yesterday when I said that I accepted Kedushin for my daughter, it was with that guy. Now we're not going to believe him because he no longer has that Pesha Asar or Pesha Hitter because it's not within Toka De Dibur. That doesn't make any sense. So V'omari, the Inyan Zeh, Eino Sosa Dvarvari Shonim. This is like the Shita, the Rambam that we just said earlier. The Re said, no, the only time we require Toka De Dibur is when the second comment contradicts the first comment, when it reverses the first comment. But of a year, it's not a reversal. V'loba Elala Farish Amigo. Even though there is no Migo, he's believed to explain his first comment, even if it's not Toch Kedei Dibur. Valchadarish Meis Biti Apesh Asur Wapesh Itzer Kagon Dekoya Isha Kiddishlai Kamei. V'yomer as Biti Desati L'ish V'shasik. Like the husband was standing there, he said, I accepted Kedushin for my daughter. Then he was quiet. The mashma vaday sheina makir shezeh chasano midlo omer as biti nesati lazeh o leisha zeh biyacha b'lo hefzik meruba hilkach lo yeinem anachar kach elatoka de dibur di kamigo. Ah, says Tosfa, so it would come out that the only time we don't require his explanation of leish hazeh to be betoka de dibur is when the zeh doesn't contradict the ish. It's when we can interpret his words as only explaining but not contradicting. So says Tosfos, if you could think of a situation where the purported arus, where the purported husband is right in front of the guy, right in front of the father, but the father makes this comment, as bisi nasasi le'ish, and he doesn't say this guy, then we know that she wasn't engaged to this guy, because if it was that guy who was the arus, the father would have said to this guy, this is my future son-in-law. He would have been very proud of him. He didn't, and therefore the next day when he comes and tries to say that it was really that guy, then he's not going to be believed. Because says Tosfos, that is viewed as contradictory and not merely explanatory. Okay, says the Gemara. So good. So we have a basis for Pesha Asur or Pesha Hiter. The father is believed to say that of all the men in the world that he accepted Kedushin on behalf of his daughter with, is this guy. Says the Gemara, Lamali Kra Svarahu. It's a Svara. I don't know why you need a fancy pasuk, says the Gemara. Hu Asra Vu Sharila. He's the one who assured her by saying, Espitzi Nesati Leish. He's the one, therefore, is believed to say that it was this guy. She's the one who is informing us that she was married. Therefore, she's the one who's believed to inform us now that she's divorced. The reason that we need a pasuk is like Rav Huna. It's for Rav Huna. How do we know that a person is able to asar his daughter on everybody in the world? Because it says, as biti nasati leish hazeh leish, that a person is believed to do something which is within his koach to do. If it's within the father's koach to accept kedushin for his daughter on behalf of his daughter, therefore he's believed when he says he accepted kedushin on behalf of his daughter. If we believe him that he accepted kedushin on behalf of his daughter, she's usher to everybody in the world until we know who the husband is. Hazeh lamali. So I already know that a father's able to usher his daughter on everybody. Why do I need hazeh?
The Tani Rav Yona is piti nesati lish hazeh, hazeh v'lo liyavam. Ah, no, the reason that it says hazeh is that is hazeh is v'lo liyavam, meaning that the only person who was qualified to come with a taina of motzi shemra on the woman, to come with a taina that there was a mekach tos because the woman was supposed to be a besula and it turns out that she wasn't a besula, the only one who's believed to come with that taina is the actual husband. If the husband dies before they were able to have bia, and now the Yavam marries her, and now the Yavam says, ah, I was sold a bill of goods, this woman was supposed to be a Basula, he doesn't have that ability. It's only the person who had the privity with the Kedushin who is able to assert the Taina of Basula, of Motzi Shemra, not the Yavam. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, about 5-6 lines up from where the lines get wide. Tana Rabbanan, Isha Shamra, Isha Sish Ani. If a woman says, I'm an Isha Sish, V'chazra V'yamra Panuyani, and then she says, oh, I'm just kidding, I'm on the market, I'm eligible. So, Ne'menesh, she's believed. Says the Gemara, V'ashavi Nafshe L'chaticha D'Yisura. But she already said that she's taken. She already said that she's an Isha Sish. Why is she then believed to say that she's single? So Amar Rava, Baravuna, Kivan Shenotla, Shenosna, Amasla, V'Levarea, where Kagon Shenosna, Amasla, V'Levarea. We're talking about where there's a plausible reason why initially she said that she is an Ashes, that she is an Ashes Ish. And that's why we're going to believe her when she then reverses and says that she's actually single. And again, over here we're not talking where she said a betoka de dibur, because if it's betoka de dibur, a person's always believed to reverse themselves within toka de dibur. And the diuk here is that it says v'chazra v'amra penuyani. V'chazra means after a while, after la'achar zman. She says penuyani, she's going to be believed to backtrack if she's got a plausible reason. What's the plausible reason? Tani nami achi amra eisha zishani. If she says I'm married, v'chazra v'amra penuyani, and then she said just kidding, I'm single. Ain't an MNS, then she's not going to be believed. We just said MNS, v'nosna masla d'varea MNS. If she has a plausible reason as to why at first she said that she's married, then she's going to be believed. Umaisenami bishachas gedola. There was a big woman. Doesn't mean a big woman. It means like a very sought after woman, an important woman. Shaisa gedola benoi. She was very pretty. V'kaftu aleha b'nei adam lakacha. Everybody was proposing to her. She couldn't walk down the street without people proposing to her. V'yamar lehem mikadeshes ani. She said, leave me alone. I'm a kadeshes to somebody else. L'yamim amda v'kitshas atzma. Eventually, she went and accepted kedushin from somebody. How could it be that she accepted kedushin? She used to tell all of these prospective suitors that she was already engaged. So she's the chachamim said to her, why do you do this? Because she said to them, at first, I was getting catcalls from all the construction workers. Everybody wanted to propose to me. And therefore, I said, leave me alone. I'm engaged. However, I finally went on a date with somebody who was fit for me, and therefore I accepted kedushin from him. So, and they brought this halacha to Rabbi Achas Arabira in front of the chachamim in Usha of Yamro, and they said, if she gave a plausible reason as to why she backtracked, and this was a plausible reason, then she is going to be believed. And this wasn't a masla because of her beauty, because of this woman's great beauty and chashivas. It was entirely plausible that everybody was trying to give her kedushin, and therefore she's believed when she says, just kidding, I was really single, because she was waiting for the right suitor to come along. Says the Gemara Vayter, two lines up. Bo mine Shmuel me rab. Amra tameani, if a woman says, I'm anida, v'chazra v'yamar torani, and then she says, I'm actually tohora, mahu. So what's the story with that? So Amar Lei, so he said, afbezu, imnosna amasla d'varea nemenes. Also of a year, if she gives an amasla, if she gives a plausible reason why initially she said she was anida, then she's going to be believed. Tanimine arba zimnin, he learned this halacha 40 times, afilu achilu avet Shmuel of the benafshe. Nevertheless, Shmuel did not paskin like this on his own. In other words, one time Shmuel's wife told him that she was Anida, and then afterwards she said, oh, I'm just kidding, I'm not Anida, and she gave an Amasla, but nevertheless, Shmuel didn't believe her, he didn't have relations with her until after she went to the mikvah. And the chiddush over here is, so the chiddush that Shmuel didn't paskin like this is because I might have thought that there's a reason for him to paskin like this, because if he's being machmer, generally when you're being machmer in Hilchas Nida, you're not only being machmer on yourself, you're being machmer on your wife. The problem with being machmer on your wife is that there's a mitzvah of ona. There's a mitzvah to have relations with your wife, and therefore, stam to be machmer all the time, it's not a good thing. It's not a praiseworthy thing. So the chiddush is that Shmuel did not trust that she was actually not a nida, and that's why he felt comfortable being machmer, even though it impacted his wife as well. This whole idea that you're allowed to, that the woman's allowed to say that she's a nida, and then given a masla, the Mefarshim explain, is only where she was only representing to her husband that she's a nida. If, however, she conducted herself outwardly as if she's a nida, what does that mean? So we don't do this nowadays anymore, but in the time of the Gemara, they used to have big day nidas. They used to have special pagodim they were wearing when she was a nida. If she was actually conducting herself outwardly as if she was a nida, then she's not believed within an amasla to say that she was just kidding, because she would never have conducted herself outwardly in that manner, were it not for the fact that she was actually a nida. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaita, third line down. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Omrim Mace. Two people say that a husband died. Vishnayim Omrim Lo Mace. And two people say the husband didn't die. Shnayim Omrim Nisgarsha. Two people say that this woman got divorced. Vishnayim Omrim Lo Nisgarsha. Two people say that the woman didn't get divorced. Harezu Lo Tinase. So it's two against two. It's a tray. Therefore, the woman is not allowed to get remarried. Vim Nise said, but if she did get married, Lo Tetse, then she doesn't have to leave her second husband. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi Amar Tetse. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi says, no, she does have to leave her second husband. Zamar Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi says, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi, Eima Sayani Omar Tetse. When do I say that she has to leave her second husband? Bizman Shebo Eidim V'Yarkachach Nisseis. It's after, if she got married after the second set of Eidim came. So if two Eidim come and say, oh, your husband died, then two Eidim come and say, no, he didn't die, and then she got married, she had no business getting married. The two Eidim already came and said the husband didn't die. The two Eidim already came and said that she wasn't divorced. She had no business getting married. That's why she has to leave the second husband. However, Avol Nisei Svakachach Bo Eidim, but if she got married on the basis of the first Eidim before the second Eidim came, and then the second Eidim came, Lo Tetze, then she doesn't have to leave the second husband. That's the way Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi explains his Shita. So says the Gemara Michti, Treya Ninu Abol Le'abasham Talakai. However, as far as the second husband is concerned, doesn't matter when in the sequence she got married. After she got married, the second witnesses came. How could the second husband continue to have relations with his wife? It's a tray, and she's a safek. He's chayev and asham talui. Tosfos explains lav dafka. She's chayev and asham talui because we learned previously. This is a couple of weeks ago when we were learning the sugya of Teisha Chanuyos and everything, and the robe and Kol Kavua, we had spoken about the concept of Asham Toli, and there are Shitos that say that Asham Toli is only when you have Chaticha Achas Mishtei Chatichos. That an Asham Toli is only when there's a Safek, but there's a Safek with two different Chefza, with two different Chefzas, with two different items. That you have a piece of fat and a piece of shuman and a piece of chalev, a piece of kosher meat and a piece of treif meat. That's when we say Asham Toli, only when there are two chatichas. Here there's only one chaticha, there's only one entity, there's one woman. We just don't know what her status is. So some explain that maybe we're talking, according to the Maan D'Amar, who says that you're chayav in Asham Toli even when it's chaticha achas. Tosfa says, it's a melitza, it doesn't mean an Asham Talui, but it means there's a suffix iser every time this guy has relations with his wife. How do we let him stay with his wife? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Kagon Shenisseis Le'echas Me'adea. Ah, she got married to one of her Eidim. So you might think that that's actually a bad thing because the guy has an ulterior motive. No, what it means is she gets married to one of the Eidim who have testified that the husband is dead. Meaning, he knows the husband is dead. He knows the other Eidim are lying, and therefore he's not risking any potential Isser. So he gufa basham tolei kaima. Good, so the Eid is a bari. But she's an Asham Talei. She's Chayav an Asham Talei because it's for her, it's a Safik Isser, because these other Eidim came and said that the husband's really alive. Ba'omeres barili, where she also says, no, I'm certain that the husband is dead, because I know for sure that if he were still alive, he would have come back, and therefore she's not going to be chayeves an asham taloi. And therefore, if she got married before the second set of Edom come, she's allowed to stay with the second husband. She doesn't have to break the marriage. Some Rav Yochanan, Shnayim Omrim Meis, V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Meis. Two people said that the husband died, two people said he didn't die. Rezu Lo Tinase, she cannot get married. Vim Niseis Lo Teitse, but if she gets married, she doesn't have to get divorced. Shnayim Omrim Nisgarsha, V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Nisgarsha. However, if two people say that she got divorced, and now two people come and say that she didn't get divorced, Harezu Lo Tinase, Vim Niseis Teitse, she shouldn't get remarried, and if she does get remarried, then she has to leave her second husband. Says the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. It's a tray, a tray. Either way, why in the Reisha, by death, does she not have to leave her second husband, but by divorce, she does have to leave her second husband? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Tirgama Be'ed Echad. But no, we're talking about where there are not two aid, and we're talking about where there was only one aid. So that's why we're going to make a distinction between the case of death and the case of divorce. How so? So the Gemara explains for us. Eid echad omer meis, one aid comes and testifies that the husband is dead. Heminu rabbanan kebei trei. This is one of the takanas agunos, which we were seeing at the end of Maseches Yuvamos. The chachamim will accept the testimony of an eid echad with the force of two eidim, and therefore, because remember, the one aid combined with the woman who's going to do her own independent investigation, Isha Daika Mitzvah, we're going to believe. So the one aid is believed like two aidim. Uchid Ula, Diyamar Ula, Kamokam Shemina Torah Eid Echad, Arei Kan, Shnayim. Anytime the Torah accepts the testimony of one aid, it has the force of two aidim. V'haidikam Ralomeis, Havelechad. Now you have one other aid who comes and said the husband didn't die. Vein Dvarav Shalecha, B'makam Shnayim. But now it's a two against one. Even though it's a one-on-one, lahalaka, it's a two against one. Because the guy who said he died, we're going to believe him like two. The other guy's only one. Two-on-one, we're going to discredit it. And therefore, if she got married on the basis of the Eda, she doesn't have to leave her second husband. Says the Gemara, but that's so good, because now we have a two against one. We're not going to believe the one. We're going to believe the two. Why did we say that lechatchila she shouldn't get remarried? Then let her get married even lechatchila. Mishum de Ravasi, because of Ravasi. The Amar Ravasi, hasech mimcha ikshos peh, you should remove any distortion of the mouth. V'lezus fasvayim archek mimcha, and you should remove yourself from any sort of perversion. In other words, you should conduct yourself in a manner that's above reproach. Even though technically, yes, it's a two against one, and you could have gotten married lechatchila, don't do it, because it's a situation of doubt. Tosfos says that this is actually a pasuk. The reason that we attribute it to Rav Asi is because Rav Asi was very fond of saying, he was wont to say this pasuk. So again, the Reisha, where one witness said that he died, they have the power, that person has the power of two witnesses. Therefore, even though one other witness comes and says that he didn't die, she shouldn't get remarried lechatchila to keep herself above reproach. But if she did get married, she doesn't have to leave the husband. Now the Seifa, Eid Echad Omer Nisgarsha, one witness said that she got divorced, Eid Echad Omer Lo Nisgarsha, another witness said that she didn't get divorced, Tavayu Beishas Iska Masadi. But we don't believe the one guy who said that she got divorced, because there is no Takana Sagunos here. That's only by a testimony that the husband died. So they're both being masid on an Eishas Ish. So in other words, because they both say that initially she was married. Vayda Kamar Nisgarsha, Havilichad. The one guy who says that she got divorced, that's one aid. Vein Dvarav Shalecha B'makam Shnayim. And now it's a one against two. It's a two on one the other way. Because both the one who said that she didn't get divorced and the one who said that she did get divorced admit that she was married. So we have two aidim testifying that she was married, only one aid testifying that she was divorced. It's a two against one, and we're not going to be believed. Again, she has a cheskas eishes ish. Rav Amar Liolam Treya Treinin. Rav says, no, we're dealing with a case where it's two against two. V'ro Rav Yochanan Dvarav Shal Menachem Rav Yosi Begerishin V'lo Rav B'misa B'misa. And we paskin like Rav Menachem Rav Yosi that she has to leave her husband by Gerishin, but not by Misa. Why? Shouldn't it be the same halacha? My time, Misa in Echola Machisho. Because by death, there's no contradicting. In other words, the woman is taking a risk by getting remarried, but she must be pretty darn sure that the husband's not alive. Because if the husband walks in the door, what's she going to say? Oh, you're dead? No, he's not dead. He walked through the door, so there's no way to avoid it. Grusha, Gerushin, Yichola Machisho. But by Gerushin, she could contradict him. Even if he comes back, she'll say, oh, remember, you divorced me. Which should be such a mechutza. Vamar of Amnuna, Isha Shomra, Labaila, Gerushtani. Ne menes, Chazaka, Ein, Isha, Meiza, Panim of Nei Bala. Because a woman is not going to be Meiz, Panim of Nei Bala. We're not afraid that she's going to lie about her status as a divorcee. Says the Gemara, Hani mi le'echad alaka edim, the kamasayla, aval hechad ik edim, the kamasayla, me'iza. No, she will be Meiz, Panav. Why? Because over here there are edim who support her, so she's going to be emboldened, she's going to be Meiz, Panav. Rav Asi Amar kagon to Amri edim, achshav Meiz, achshav girsha. So no, we're talking about where they said that he literally just died, or he literally just got divorced, he literally just divorced her. So misa leko levrure, by death, there's nothing to be mevarer. In other words, if they said that the guy died, that there's no body, there's no investigation to do, and therefore lechatchila she shouldn't get married. But if she gets married, then we're not going to force her to leave her husband. Gerushin ika levrure damri la emisa dachi avi achsi legitech. But by Gerushin, if she says, I just got divorced, we're going to say, really? Prove it. Show us your get. She's not going to be believed to say she lost her get because she claims she just got divorced. Nobody would ever lose their get in such a short period of time. Therefore, by Gerushin, she's not believed. And even if she got married, she has to leave her second husband. That's enough for today. We'll pick up Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow, God willing. Everybody have a great day.